From St. Mark's Episcopal Church in Houston, Texas, a joyful Christian community, this is Soulful Sundays, a weekly podcast of our 5 o'clock service. I'm Patrick Miller, the rector of St. Mark's. Welcome.
Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Mark.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
The beginning of the good news of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. As it is written in the prophet Isaiah, "See, I am sending my messenger ahead of you, who will prepare your way, the voice of one crying out in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight." John the Baptizer appeared in the wilderness, proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. And people from the whole Judean countryside and all the people of Jerusalem were going out to him and were baptized by him in the River Jordan, confessing their sins. Now John was clothed with camel's hair, with a leather belt around his waist, and he ate locusts and wild honey. He proclaimed, "The one who is more powerful than I is coming after me. I am not worthy to stoop down and untie the thong of his sandals. I have baptized you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
In the name of one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. I have to say, I love that the gospel according to Mark does not start with a nativity scene. I love baby Jesus, and I love celebrating with the nativity on Christmas morning, but I also love that St. Mark thrusts us into the greatest story of all time with boldness and with bluntness. We begin with a messenger, and he wears camel's hair, and he eats locusts and honey, and he appears in the wilderness crying out for repentance. And I love that St. Mark uses the prophet Isaiah to put all the weight of Jewish tradition and scripture behind his proclamation of the coming of Christ. I love that John the Baptist is the literal embodiment of Isaiah's prophecy. And if I'm really honest, I love that he's kind of weird. I love that John the Baptist wears camel's hair, and he lives off the land, and he is out in the wilderness, which if you've ever seen pictures or been to Israel and seen the Judean wilderness, it's desert. It's mountainous desert. It's not friendly for habitation, and yet we find John the Baptist out there proclaiming the coming of Christ. And what scripture tells us, which is I think even more absurd, is that people go out to hear him. Crowds of people from Jerusalem and from all over the Judean countryside go to listen to what he has to say. And not only that, they believe him. They respond. They repent of their sins and are baptized. Can you imagine today if someone were to appear in Sam Houston National Forest of unknown origin, wearing rags and living off the land, eating leaves and berries and drinking rainwater, and proclaiming the second coming of Christ? Just imagine that scenario for a minute. Would you go? Would you go and listen to that person? Would you hear what they had to say? Would you believe them? I wouldn't. And not only that, if I could say it more strongly, I would think that person was out of their mind. I don't even like to go outside the loop, much less go all the way to Sam Houston National Forest. And then you add to that that it would be to hear a person who I think is probably unstable to deliver a message that I'm quite cynical of and resistant to, and you will find me putting my feet into the ground and refusing to move. And I suspect if we take a minute and we're really honest with one another, you wouldn't go either. So it is not only unusual, it is quite miraculous that John the Baptist was heard at all, much less by droves of people from all over who believed him and who responded, who took action, who repented of their sins, who were baptized, who were ready to stop waiting and to prepare for the coming of the Lord. And so, if we go through that thought experiment again and we imagine that there's a person of unknown origin preaching the second coming of Christ in Sam Houston National Forest, and if we miraculously gather to hear them, and even more miraculous still, if we believe what they have to say and are ready to respond, my question for you this evening is, of what do you need to repent? What in your life, what in our lives collectively needs to be cleansed so that we can prepare for the coming of the Lord? I was in Target yesterday with my husband. We were going to buy wrapping paper for our Christmas gifts. And we walked in, and y'all, the line stretched the entire length of the store. It must have been three times as long as this sanctuary. And so I thought, well, we can handle this. And we kept walking, and we kept walking, and the line kept going and kept going. And I was peering in people's baskets. And some people had as little as a bottle of laundry detergent. And some people had baskets full of clothes and games and electronics and copious amounts of candy. And all the registers were open. And still the line was endless. And the thing that got me was that all of those people, with their hard-earned dollars, were willing to wait for hours to purchase those things. Y'all, we didn't need wrapping paper that bad, so we left. But it begs the question, is perhaps this consumerism, this culture we have around Christmas, something we need to repent of? The shiny new toy, or the car that is a model year newer than your neighbor's, or those Christmas lights that are just a few lumens brighter than the ones down the street? Is it something worth repenting of when what we're starving for is hope, and what we're being fed instead is a feast of plastic and metal? And if you don't want to go societal scale on this, if you want to just think about really small things, perhaps it is better to think of it in terms of what you need to repent of in your own life. Do you need to repent of the lies you tell your spouse or your best friend about feeling satisfied and valued? Do you need to repent of the ill thoughts you have for the kid down the street who lets his dog run off leash and gets all in your yard? Or the gossip you share at lunch about your coworkers? Or any number of things that make you think, I'm so glad people don't know that about me. Or I'm so glad Sally down the street didn't hear me say that. The list is long. It can be endless. But it's time for us to take some time to really reflect on what it is that is holding us back from not only the spirit of Christmas, but the preparation for the coming of the Lord. There's no more waiting. Now is the time. John the Baptist and his followers didn't wait, so neither shall we. So listen. Listen to the guy in the camel hair in the wilderness, or listen to the person in the rags in Sam Houston National Forest, or to me in this blue stole standing before you, or the Spirit who leads and guides you every step of every day into a life full of love and grace. But listen and respond. Repent. The Lord your God is coming, and we are to prepare the way. Amen.
December night, pull in the driveway. Got something to tell you. Life will change. What will she be like? Will she be pretty? Will she love Jesus with all of her heart? Born to us a king, to us he brings love beyond all reckoning. The curtain's torn and the child is born to us. Born to
This episode was produced by St. Mark's Episcopal Church in Houston, Texas. Special thanks to our band, led by Cameron Deason-Hammond, and featuring Jeremy Nuncio, Asher Pudlow, and Andrew Gordon. Join us every Sunday for Soulful Sundays at 5 p.m. at St. Mark's, 3816 Bel Air Boulevard in Houston, Texas, or visit us online at stmarks-houston.org.